Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Friday Nightcap with Taylor Danes, Imaj Ade, and Thomas Carter. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes.
Hello, good evening.
Hi. You'll have to excuse me because my voice is going to go in and out. I don't know what this crud is. I just wanted to go away. Because I just want to be able to breathe and talk normally. So, yeah, that's my issue. I'm sitting over eating ice and trying to make things work for me. How are you guys doing?
I am good. I am good.
Awesome. So tonight we're going to talk about sex a little bit later. We're not going to talk about it right now because we're going to talk about relationships and what our relationships are, what relationships are like right now. First question is like, what is it that you bring to your relationship when you're in it? What are you doing? Are you in it overall, or are you still in it and still searching and not quite sure what you want to do yet? So that's where we're at with that question. Ladies first. Taylor.
I'm in a relationship. I am 100% in that relationship. I'm not looking for anything extra. I'm not doing anything extra. I'm just in it. Like, once we establish that we are together, like, this is our relationship, I'm 100% in. I'm not trying to do anything extra. I'm not looking for to play around, or I'm not looking for somebody extra. So I'm 100% in it. Thomas?
Well, when I'm in a relationship, I'm pretty much 100% in it. Ain't no reason to really look elsewhere for anything, you know, at that point in time. Because if I decide that I want to be with you, then it's a pretty good reason as to why I feel like I want to be with you. So if, you know, for especially for me, if I choose to go that route with you, then trust me, I really am sticking it out with you until, you know, we both call it quits.
Okay. Well, that's how I am. I am in a relationship. I don't tend to look at anything. Like, a lot of times, if I'm in a relationship with someone, and for me to be in a relationship with you, that everything about you has captivated me. So there is nothing anyone else can really do or say to get me from not being captivated by you. And so I'm in it. I am 100% faithful to my mates. And now, I may not be the clingy type, but I'm there with him. Because that would be my boo. Why are you laughing at me?
Did you say boo?
Yeah, I know they don't use that word, because some people don't like that word, boo. But, you know, that's what he would be to me. My boo, my love, my honey, my sugar. Yes, I have names for my mate. Hell, that's what it would be for me. And so I saw a picture on Instagram, and I meant to post it before the show. Well, was it on my Instagram or was it on my Facebook? It was on one of them. But it said, it had one picture with this girl where it was kind of sticking her booty out, and she was like, you know, girls say they want relationships and they think they can offer just this, but what men really want is a woman who cooks, cleans, and is there for him type situation. And I was thinking, I was like, is this true? Because I'm thinking he needs everybody in the picture. He needs somebody that's going to pop her booty and cook and clean and everything else. Maybe I'm wrong for thinking that way. Hello?
No, I agree. I think it's just you need overall the whole thing. Like, you just can't say, oh, well, if all you have to offer is this or no. I mean, again, this is just my theory. You can't judge every book by its cover. Because, yeah, she can be on Instagram and she can have her titties out and she can have her ass out. But, again, at the end of the day, it's Instagram. You're only looking at pictures. Like, you don't know her. Or you don't know him personally. So I'm with the don't judge a book by its cover. Now, however, if you meet them and you find out, you know, that they dumb as a box of rocks, then you already know what you're getting yourself into. Or the same thing goes, like, if you meet them and it's a guy and you can tell that the only thing that he's after is a mess, then there you go. Like, that's your, now you can make a judgment call. But you don't judge somebody just based upon pictures of them.
Don't most people say that pictures are worth 1,000 words?
Yeah, they do, but sometimes it could be 1,000 wrong words.
Okay. Thomas, if you see a lady on Instagram or whatever and she's got, you know, these booty pics, or even a dating website and her profile picture is ass and titties, how do you feel about how she may write something in her profile saying, you know, I'm looking for a man that's going to respect me and this, that, and the third, but her picture shows something else? How do you feel about that?
Again, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just because you see a picture, you know, she may be comfortable with her body, you know, and she asks for respect in the aspect of, all right, hey, look, this is me. This is how I'm comfortable. She may have worked real hard to achieve the body in which she is so, you know, openly flaunts. You know, they always say, if you got it, flaunt it. So what's the difference of whether you're, you know, whether you're wearing really tight form-fitting clothes or you're wearing, you know, very revealing clothing. If you got it, flaunt it. I can't knock you for, you know, being out there, you know, whether your clothes are tight and form-fitting or whether you just got on some little nonsense. I can't knock you for that. It's all about who you are. Because, you know, if you're asking for respect, first off, everybody asks for respect. Now, if you're just going to automatically disrespect that person simply because what they have on, then what kind of a person are you? You can't. You have to be more open-minded to, you know, what it is. Because I posted a status, most times, you know, the books that are worth reading are the ones that are most tattered. You know, the spine of the book isn't always mostly intact. You know, those are the books that are worth reading because they actually are the most interesting. You know, so if you see somebody that's, you know, that may be doing something like that, but they usually have a good reason for it other than the attention seekers.
Because my medicine's going to kick in at some point. And so my brain is going to kind of shut down. Do y'all have some questions, like, outside of that? Like, we're still within the same guidelines. Y'all have to excuse me. Okay, I got a question, so since we're just going to be quiet. I mean, okay, go on, Taylor.
I guess it would be... So, I just lost my train of thought. I've been drinking. I'm sorry.
I wish I could.
Go ahead, because I just completely forgot what I was getting ready to say. I really
okay.
did.
Well, I think that, I mean, with the, I guess I'm kind of just leaning towards, like, the whole dating site thing, because, okay, I am not on, I don't use dating sites for what they are supposed to be used for. I use it mostly for networking, but I notice a lot about it. And I see why some women say, I need you to respect me, because some of these men out here come at women so sideways that they forget that, yes, my picture may look like this, but I am still a woman at the end of the day. You're not just going to talk to me any kind of old way. And I guess that's why, because I've received all types of messages to the point of, oh, I want to fuck you and this and this. First of all, my profile don't even say nothing about this. That's first and foremost. So I need for you to have 1,000 motherfucking seats. That's how I feel. And I usually ignore those. And then you have the ones who will approach you like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And you respond back cordially, fine, how are you? And then somewhere in the conversation it goes real far left. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't give you that perception of me. I did not. And if you go, and even with one of my profiles, if you go through any one of my pictures, you don't get but just me fully clothed. You don't get none of this ass out. I can't help that my titty show. I can't help that they're big. I can't help it. And I still get approached like that. So I don't know how these other women are being approached. If I'm being approached like that and I'm fully clothed, I can only imagine what they're being approached like. Hush your mouth, Bella. We're not gonna do this. We're not gonna talk about my tata tonight. Not gonna do it. we're not gonna talk about them. They're mine. Y'all are a hot mess. But yeah. And then you have some people on there saying, "Oh, I'm looking for a serious relationship." But then when they're looking for a serious relationship, and this is coming from one of my male friends, it's like, these girls are on here and they're looking for serious relationships. But when you talk to them, they start talking about, you know, I just want to have sex and this, that, and the third. That's not a serious relationship. That you want to be boned, and that's bad. To me.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, all across the board, the first mistake is that perceptions of relationships. So that's already, like, the beginning. Like, the perception of relationships and what a relationship is so far to the left that even if you, some people think that that's the norm. Like, that's a relationship, somebody you just sleeping with, and that's it. That's their perception of what a relationship is. I think at the end of the day, it starts with what you think a relationship is, which stems from what it stems from also what you see growing up as a relationship, which goes back to mom and dad, which goes back to, you know, grandma and grandpa, or great-grandma and great-grandpa. Like, it starts with, everything starts with home. It's funny, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine the other day, and it all starts, that's where it starts, your perception of a relationship. Now, this is no judgment by any means. I know plenty of people that have grew up in two-parent households. I grew up in a two-parent household, and it's not to say that it's any better than living in a one-parent household, because there are things that I struggle with as an adult that stem from my childhood and relationships that I saw growing up. And I think that that plays a part in why relationships are the way that they are. It has nothing to do with media. It has nothing to do with what we see on the internet. No, it starts with what we see at home as children, as young adults, as teenagers, what we absorb. I mean, take for instance, if you have a son that's at home with his single mother and there's not a man around to teach him and to show him how a woman is supposed to be treated, he's not going to know. Which means he's going to go someplace else to try and find out, which essentially means that it's not going to be the same. Just like, again, if you have a mother and a father that are in a household and the child is growing up, which is no different than how I grew up. My mother and father never touched each other. They never touched each other. I never saw my mother kiss my father. I never saw my father kiss my mother. I never seen them touch. None of that growing up. So as I got older, I saw that they were together. They were married. They were happy. They didn't argue. So that's my perception of how relationships were. Okay, we together, but I don't have to touch on you. I don't have to kiss on you all the time. So as I got older, that was what I thought was my perception of a relationship. It wasn't until I actually got to be in a relationship where, you know, this was an issue. This was, like, a really big issue. Like, we used to go, I mean, to town on this issue. And I'm like, I don't understand what the hell, like, why do you feel so, like, why are we arguing about this every other day? Like, I'm with you. Like, what you mad for? And then it wasn't until, like, somebody actually explained it to me that I was like, oh, well, I can see why that would be an issue. So I think it always starts from what we see growing up.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, I agree. I mean, with my parents are still married to this day. My parents have been married 38 years. And now I've seen the ups and downs of relationships. I've seen it through my parents. And there's been days where I know that they probably wanted to call it quits on each other. But they've stuck with it. And, you know, before my grandfather passed, him and my grandmother had been married, oh gosh, 50, 60 years. Like, in my family, I've seen marriages last that long. And for me, that's what I would want in my life, because I've seen that. That's all I know. I don't know what divorce is like. I don't know. I don't ever want to know. So when the day I do get married, my husband needs to realize mm-hmm. you're stuck with me till death do us part. And, sir, you best believe it. So that's what I know. And, you know, some people don't respect that they spend so much more time going and doing other things and not focusing on their marriage and saying, okay, how can I fix my marriage if it's broken? At the end of the day.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. That's a big thing. Because it's so easy now. It's so easy to say, look, you're getting on my motherfucking nerves. I don't want to be bothered with your ass. To the left, to the left. It's so easy to say that nowadays. It's nobody's actually trying to fix what's broken. It's just easy. To some people, it's just easier just to say, I'm sick of your ass. Like, you need to go. And that's what happens.
I personally, if people treat relationships like this, the high school relationship that you were in, like, I know when I was in high school, listen, I had the same boyfriend from the time I was in the eighth grade until my freshman year of college. Talk about a relationship, huh? And we broke up so much, especially in high school. It felt like I was breaking up with him every other day. Not even every other week, every other day I felt like I was breaking up with him because he got on my nerves so bad every day. We even have a friendship now and he still gets on my nerves. So it's like, people treat marriages like they're high school. Like, oh, that's my boyfriend and we go together and but he pissed me off because he was talking to Sally, so we're not together anymore. What? Sit down. Have a seat. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, I will say this, some people are ungrateful. Ungrateful, unappreciative as well. Because, excuse me, I have to cough because my throat is starting to hurt. I'm sorry, but you have a good person in your life. You have them, but you don't treat them right.
Mhm.
Like you just don't treat them right. You don't. When they go through something, they're not talking to you, or you're not even trying to fix what's broken. He's a brother and he wants to comfort and he wants to do that, but you just treat him as if he's nothing. Oh, okay. Well, you're doing that. Oh, okay. You're an unappreciative person. I need you to appreciate what you got because obviously God placed that person in your life for a purpose and you can't even appreciate what you have.
No, I absolutely agree. I've seen it firsthand. I have the weirdest people that I know, and I go, like, I don't understand how I get caught up in these things. I don't even do anything. But I've seen firsthand how people, like, in relationships, how they mistreat people. And I want to feel bad, but then again, it's like you had to know. Like, so we're past the first 3 months when you met the representative. Now you're meeting the real person now. Like, you see the sign, but you're just like, well, you know, well, it was just that one time, and No, like these, I mean, I'm not talking about little petty things like, oh, you know, he got an attitude or, you know, he leave the toilet seat up. I'm talking about, like, you having, like, a gambling problem, like major issues that, like, red flags, mm-hmm. like, warnings. And they just be like, well, it's okay.
They're a functional crackhead. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Stuff like that, like he didn't give you some type of nasty cootie disease, and you still like, but I love him, okay. But then you want to cry, because you know you're being mistreated. No, you were being mistreated when he gave your coochie the cooties. Like you knew already. You know what I'm saying? I want to feel bad, but it's like it's hard to. And I see it a lot. Like, I see it firsthand. And it's just like, you can't possibly be serious. Like, you're going to, and you don't, and on the other end, it's like, I don't understand how you could put somebody through so much just because. It's not that they're doing anything to you. You just wake up and just decide, you know what? I feel like doing some bullshit today. Like, what? Like, you got a good woman that does everything for you. She takes care of you. You don't have to work or nothing like that. And you just out, just slinging, just all around town.
You don't have to work.
No, like, she takes care of everything. Like, she pays the bills. Everything. He don't do nothing, not a nothing. All he do is get up.
IV, since he wants to go out and give out everything, he don't need no IV.
Not a bit of nothing. He has no responsibilities. She pays all the bills. Everything is taken care of. Whenever he decide to come back in the house, he got hot meal, all that. But now, you got four miscellaneous kids.
Mm-mm.
And now, and even to make matters worse, is the kicker for me. So you got four miscellaneous kids. You don't have no kids with your girl that you live with, but all the kids come to the house over the weekend. And they all in order. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So, I got a question.
I had 17 questions when I got this one.
I got a question. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got a question. So, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
How long have we been together?
Let's see. 8.5 years? Almost 9 years.
Mm-hmm. No.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. No.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm
mm-hmm.
going to do it. If after that
mm-hmm.
first kid came in
mm-hmm.
and the kid wasn't with me, then I would have been gone. That's just me. Because I don't cheat. That's the thing. I don't cheat. You know, I don't emotionally cheat or anything. I don't do it. So for you
mm-hmm.
to cheat on me, because I'm now looking at it as you're cheating on me because you're going out and sticking your dick in everybody else. Yes, you're cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you on this train.
That are unforgivable.
I'm with you on this train.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go out, okay, if you cheat, okay, you cheated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that happen again because there ain't no child coming from this. Don't let that happen again. But if you go and you do it again, and now you decided to bring a kid into this, and that kid ain't mine, and you want me to play mommy to it on the weekend, first of all, no. I'm not going to do it. You can go take your kid and your new baby mama and figure out how y'all going to get it together because I'm not taking care of no kid, especially if it ain't mine. That's number one. Two, you out here having babies and you ain't got no fucking job. Are you fucking kidding me? Have you lost your mind?
Yes, honey. Yes. Did I leave out?
Have to pay fucking child support for your miscellaneous fucking kids? Let me tell you something, sir. No, I'm not doing it. You can have 1,000 motherfucking seats to the left in every single damn stadium around the United States of America and in Europe if you like. No, I am not taking care of your kids.
Oh, I'm sorry. I left out one important detail. It's four kids with four different women. So on Friday night, the oldest two get dropped off, and then Saturday morning, the youngest two get dropped off.
Oh, hell no.
Uh-uh.
I didn't sign up for this. And, and then if I'm married, first of all, if I married you and you started doing this, let me tell you, I may not believe in divorce, but God is going to have to work on me with that. He's going to have to work on me. God is going to have to come down from the heavens to sanctify me to deal with that. I promise you, this will be the first time anybody has had to see God, because I need God to come down and sit beside me. God, I need you to hold my hand through this. God, I need you to help. What? I ain't saying, no. God is going to have to push me through it, because he is going to have to say, I know you my child, and I taught you well. He said, but I ain't teach you to be stupid.
There you go.
And that's just like a whole situation with one of my friends. I love her to death. Love her. Her and her boyfriend had been together for like 6 years. The first kid we excused because the girl had told him, no, this is not your baby. This is somebody else's kid. But come to find out, it was his kid. Okay.
Mm.
But then, right, you know what I'm saying? So that's okay. But then when they had an off period, so when they had an off period, he came back with, okay, I got her pregnant. Okay. So, and then when the baby was 3 months old, the girl just dropped the baby off and said, here, I don't want to anymore. And just dropped the baby off. So now she's taking care of a 3-month-old that she didn't birth. Up until he was, I think baby boy, he's 3 now. So, and they just recently broke up. And so, up until he was 3, like, I told her, when she called me, I said, listen, honey, you're better than me. You're doing a lot better than me. So, first of all, we're not, me and him are not married. So, I can pick up my stuff and I can leave. And, no, you can't come with me. Yes, I understand you love them babies, but at the end of the day, you ain't got to deal with that. Yeah, but I didn't mean to call them baby things. Them babies did not come out your hoo-ha. I didn't mean to call them baby things. I'm sorry. I've been doped up all day long and just hush. Anyway, but them babies, and they, shut up, Bella, you weren't supposed to repeat things. Them babies are not yours. You have never had a baby. You don't know what it feels like to push out a baby. No, nothing. So why are you dealing with it? I'm not going to deal with it. It's not going to happen. And that brings me to my policy. Yes, I have a policy. I do. I can't date a man who has more than 3 kids. I can't. I won't. I shall not. No. And then there's a stipulation with the 3 kids. You can't have 3 baby mamas.
No.
You can have 2. You can have 1. But if them grow up as 3 of them, I'm good. I'm good on you. Because I got that many to deal with 3 different personalities. 3 people who are going to get on my nerves. I'm not going to do it. And the reason why I say 3 kids is because I look at my own situation. And I look at it like this. I would have had twins. You know, so my daughter is a twin. So I would have been going into a relationship with 2 kids. So I can't really knock you for having 3 kids, and especially if like 2 of them are like friends. Like, there's certain ways that it can be worked out. You can't have three baby mamas and you can't have three kids. Like, you can't do it. Now, I've had some men that got, like, five kids. And they got, like, three baby mamas and five kids. And, honey, I can't do that either. Five kids? You know, like you're saying, like, yeah, hey, no. Four hands. Hey, how you doing? No. You're so silly, Bella. Twins do not count as one. It's still two chaps. I may have just had one pregnancy, but still two chaps.
Why she calling them chaps? Bella is a mess.
First of all, you have to understand that we are from the South, and that's what, you know, what older people call children. They call them chaps. And
oh,
I was giving
okay.
my granny. She was like, you chaps go outside. And we would be like, huh? And she's like, go outside. So she's telling us to go outside. But it's chaps, yes, this country.
Oh, you're right. I'll be forgetting. I forgot. But, see, that's my issue. Now, going back out into the dating world, because I have, like, I got a gang. Like, I got a clique. I got a posse. Like, I do. I got a posse. I got them two little babies. Then I got my daughter, and then I have my son. So, like, I got a gang. Like, it's a, like, we a clique. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we go out. Like, we deep. So that's my issue going back into the dating world, because I feel like I shouldn't go back out in the dating world, because it's like, wait a minute, you got how many kids? But they all got the same daddy.
Right. You look how long you were with this man. Look at the numbers. It'd be something different if you said, I have four kids, three men. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And look at how many years you've been with him. Look at the years. And then you're like, okay, I was with that man for 10 years. Wow, is it 10 years?
No.
It's more than that.
No.
Like 13.
No, it's years, 13.
Oh, girl, I was getting there. I know it was double digit shit. But what the fuck y'all want in a marriage? It's the whole, you have reason, like, you've been with that man for 13 years, and yes, you all have given birth to four beautiful babies. That is a lifetime of a relationship. That's different. Now, if they can't see that, then they dumb as a box of rocks. But, come on now. If you just met Sally today, and then Sally 2 months down the road says, I'm pregnant, then you need to have a fucking seat, sir, and put your dick in your pants, because you are a hot-ass mess. And Thomas, I know that you haven't said much, but Shamor has a question for you. We posted a question on the Facebook page, and it's, the question is, have you ever mistreated someone in a relationship? And she wanted to know, what did you say, Thomas?
The question is, have I ever mistreated someone in a relationship?
Yeah,
I've mistreated, you know, enough women in a relationship to learn, you know, what I am to do, what I'm not to do. You know, like, you know, I'll pretty much put it to you in this way. In one relationship I had, I was Jody from Baby Boy. Up and down.
Jody.
You know,
okay, sorry.
Yeah. Like, me and her had a Jody and Yvette relationship, as far as, from my point of view, you know, I never put my hands on her, but, you know, like, we never broke up to, you know, we broke up, but, like, the way I moved, you know, even though I know who she was to me, you know, it still didn't stop me from doing whatever it was that I was doing at that point in time. Like, I've had enough experience in my life to be like, oh, okay, well, you know what? I can see where I make my mistakes at, You know, because like when I say that me and her, we have our history. We have our history. Like she taught me a lot. I taught her a lot, you know, in the process. And when I tell you we done been down the road of almost having kids, you know, almost getting married, being in a relationship for a long period of time, you know, we done been down that road. So it's taught me a lot about myself, as, you know, as far as being in relationships and wanting to be in a relationship. Because at the end of the day, those relationships, like especially, you know, with that one particular relationship, I learned, I'm going to just be single until I find exactly, not almost exactly what I want, but to the degree of, you know, I can be comfortable with, because I'm not going to find exactly what I want. But if I find something which I can be comfortable with in my relationship, but it helps me grow, then that's, you know, that's something I work on being with.
Well, Shamor has a couple of comments. She wanted us to let you know that, let me pull it up here. She wanted us to let you know that she knew that you did. And then she also said, shaking my head, and to tell you that's one on her list. I don't know what list she's referring to, but she's saying that it's on her list. I guess that's an insider between y'all two, but that's what she
said. Actually have no clue, but, you know, that's fine by me. You know, being on the list is fine. As long as she understands that I am not by no means in the average in whatever list you have me on, you know, I hope it's an interesting list. But no, like, as far as what the discussion was, I just wanted to chime in a bit. Because, one, I don't have any kids. I could have had multiple kids. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, it looks bad to a certain degree, you know, if you have a certain number of kids, you know, regardless of, you know, who the baby dads are or who the baby moms are. If you have a certain number of kids, it just looks bad. But it also depends on the person and their perception of you and their perception of what a relationship should be. Because I've dated a girl who had four kids with, like, three different baby dads. Four kids with three different baby dads. So, ultimately, at the end of the day, it wasn't about her decision, you know, whether it was she just got pregnant by accident or she was just pregnant in a relationship, you know, with him, because at one point in time she was married. You know, so regardless of whatever the point in time frame in which she had her kids, she still had four kids. It doesn't matter whether or not you have four kids with the same person or, you know, four different people. It's all about that person and their mindset. Because I can love you for the person in which you are, and I can take your kids for the person, for the individuals in which they are. You know, because if ultimately at the end of the day, you're basing how you deal with someone who may be a perfect fucking candidate for you to be with for the rest of your life on the number of kids that they have, regardless of whether or not they have baby mama or baby daddy drama, at the end of the, like, with their families or not, you're kind of closed-minded. I can understand that you have a preference. Preference is great. But if you're automatically going to disqualify someone, this is my opinion, if you're automatically going to disqualify someone for being, you know, not promiscuous, but being willing to give someone a child, because you never know what might have been going on at that time. You know, maybe them first two kids didn't slow that person down from the lifestyle that they was living, but that third one did. Because the first two kids was with a person who was in the lifestyle of being out in the streets. And she was so gung-ho about being with this person that she gave him two instantly. Then the third person came around and said, you know what, let me help you do something with your life. ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all about a person's mindset. It's all about a person's ability and willingness to deal with that person and everything that comes along with them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha. I don't know. I just, like, I have my preference, too, which is funny coming from me, but I have a preference, too. Like, I have, I can't deal with the baby mama stuff. Like, if you got, like, it doesn't matter how many children you have, because, you know, like I said, I got a clique. So I can't really fault you for having, you know, how many kids that you have. However, I can't, if she's, like, one of them petty bitches, like, I cannot be, like, that's a deal breaker. Like, I don't mind you having four kids. I don't mind all of that. But if you got baby mama drama, like, I can't deal with it because I don't have that in my situation. Like, he does what he's supposed to do. I do what I'm supposed to do, and that's it. Like, we don't have that drama. We don't go back and forth about, and I don't have to come to his job, stop and talk about you ain't give me no money for Pampers. I don't have to do none of that. And he don't argue about my son is in some dude. Like, we don't do all of that. So for me to even want to be with you, and I see this coming, like, I see with the neck rolling and the snap, like, I'm not a stable person. I'm not well. I have issues. I will smooth lay her out. Like I don't have time. I don't have the patience for none of that. So for me to see that, it's like I can't be bothered. Like, I can't be bothered at all. It's just like, what was that movie? The side piece was in it. What is her name? She got a show, and everybody was talking about it. What is her name? Come on, help me out now. She.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Her dude just had a miscellaneous kid with somebody, and they just got engaged. What is her name?
Miscellaneous, and they just got engaged.
Yeah. Her dude's name starts with a D. Dwayne Wade. What's his girlfriend's name?
Gabrielle Union.
Okay, you're talking about Being Mary Jane.
That's the show she was on. Yeah, but it's a movie that she was in where, like, she's out with this guy and they, like, whining and dining and she talking and everything else and they having a good old time and then they get ready to leave the restaurant and his baby mama pull up with the kids.
Okay, in the car. You're talking about it's not Deliverance from Evil, is it?
I couldn't tell you.
No.
I didn't even know the girl's name.
No.
Bella said
it's
Daddy's Little Girl.
Daddy's Little Girl. You know what? That's right, Bella. You're so right.
You know what, Bella?
You're so smart.
Yes, she is. Oh, she knew all the answers. Look at you, Bella. Yeah, but like that. Like that was just like... You know, I can't deal with none of that. She pregnant and she got the kids out all types of night. And like, oh, I was in the night like that. I can't. That's way too much. Like, I don't have those type of issues, and I don't want to deal with somebody who has that type of issue.
Well, that's just
my preference.
No, I understand that. Like, so now, are you saying this in the aspect, in the capacity of, if you just get with him and his baby mama starts tripping, or are you saying his baby mama can't start tripping at all throughout the relationship?
No, at all, in the least bit. No, because all right, here's
so,
the thing.
Now,
I wouldn't bring that drama to anybody because that's not drama that I have. So
I understand that.
I wouldn't want, like, that's not something that I feel comfortable bringing my kids into because, for one, that's not what they're used to. They don't see me and their dad argue. They don't see us get into it. They don't see all of the neck rolling and all, like, they don't see all of that. All they see is, here's my mom, here's my dad, and that's it. So I wouldn't bring them into a situation where off the top, like once we all get together, she start tripping, and now she want to go to, like, you got to go to court every other week, and this is that, like, that's too much. That's over the top. Like, I don't deal with it and with my own, and I'm not gonna deal with it with yours, because I am team 1-800 cut a bitch. Like, I don't have patience for none of that. Like, she got one good time to come at me sideways. That's the last time she coming sideways at anybody. Team 1-800 cut a bitch. I promise you. I don't deal with all of that.
Is it his fault that she starts going off?
Yes, because here's the situation. It's both of their fault, because when you make the conscious decision to lay down with somebody and you're not protecting yourself, you run the risk of having a child. So, one, you're already, both of you are irresponsible. Okay. You already know the type of person that you're dealing with, because you've been with them, or you just was quick to just get some ass and then that's just what happened. Or you was quick to get some dick and that's just what happened. But at the end of the day, you still, like, you didn't protect yourself, so now you stuck dealing with this situation. Like, I get it. There are people out there that they wanted them, they loved them, they decided that, you know, the other person decided they weren't in the right relationship, they didn't want to be with them, and then they fly off the deep end. I get that. But once you lay down with somebody, you run the risk of that, of having a child with them if you're not safe. So you making the conscious decision, this is why you don't just, hey, I saw you on Monday and you look good and I'm fucking you well on Saturday and now you're pregnant. You don't do that. That's the problem. Okay. Everybody's so quick to just be like, hey, you look good and you look good, and you don't know nothing about this person. You don't know that they full-blown crazy. You don't know that.
Right, but even then, most people don't show that they're crazy until there's a situation like this that happens, because of the simple fact most people who are in whatever situation that they're in, you know, they may not protect themselves, but you do have those certain instances where they were protecting themselves, but the contraceptive failed. And so by that logic, sometimes they end up in a situation where it wasn't something which they wanted at that point in time, but it is what it is. They accepted it for what it was worth. Now you have a crazy baby mom or a crazy baby dad behind, you know, some nonsense, you know, all right, now you're stuck with this person for 18 years. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I feel as though you can't blame the person, you can't blame him or her for whatever the person, you know, baby mom or baby dad does, because that's was something which they did. You get what I'm saying? If I got a crazy baby mom, like if I have a baby mom and she was never crazy before she got pregnant, we had a great relationship, we still ended up as friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then she saw that, you know, my relationship was on a higher level, then how, and then she feels some kind of way about that because she sees that I'm progressing to something different, how is it my fault my baby mama's tripping? That's what I'm trying to get at.
It's your fault It's your fault because you're not understanding, you're not in full understanding of the person that you're sleeping with. It's her fault because she's just that shit crazy and she needs to be, like, she needs medication, or she needs somebody from my team, 1-800-CUT-A-BITCH, to help her understand how to act in public. But it's collectively your fault. Like, I'm sorry. There's no other way around it, because you should know the type of person that you're laying down with, and then also you got to know, somebody has to explain to them the boundaries, what it is. Like, not just you also can't give mixed signals either. Like, that's another issue that, you know, baby mothers have with their exes, because you got dudes that don't want to be with them, but then you go, like, he go to go pick up the baby or whatever, and he's still fucking him. Or, he's doing couple shit with them and then going back over here. So it's confusing. Like, you got to set, once that happens, she's pregnant, that's when, okay, you're not together, you got to start setting boundaries from the gate. Look, this is what it is. This is what's going to happen. This is what's not going to happen. This, if you do this, like, you have to set boundaries. And that's a lot, and that's another thing that people don't do. It's just like, oh, she just be tripping because whatever. No, she tripping because you ain't setting no damn boundaries.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Like, put it into an ideal situation, put it into an idealistic point of view. You did everything you were supposed to do as far as, like, let's say the kid is like 2 to 3 years old. You and the baby mom not together no more, you know, but y'all have whatever it is, y'all co-parent the child on a good level, everybody's happy, mm-hmm. you know, as far as what's going on with the parenting. And then mm-hmm. you end up meeting someone new,
mm-hmm.
and the other parent starts to trip. And it's not because of anything that is, you know, oh, okay, y'all still messing around with one another, y'all still trying to work things out. It's none of that involved.
Mm-hmm.
How would it still be his fault if she starts acting up? If they had boundaries in place, nothing was wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. In that instance, then it's not his fault. 100%. Like, it's not his fault 100%, I don't think. I do think that if it is a situation where that starts to happen, you need to have an honest conversation, and you need to, again, there's more boundaries that need to be set. Like, you need to sit down and talk to her, not on some I'm just going to yell and all. No, you need to have a mature conversation. This is why I say you just can't lay down with anybody and have kids with anybody. Like, I am lucky that I actually have kids with the person that I have kids with, because we don't go through all of that. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if he's dating, but I've been thinking about dating. I went on a horrible ass date and I haven't been out since, but I understand. Like, we have boundaries already. We had the talk already. We know, like, everybody knows what's going on. So it's not like I'm getting blindsided by anything and he's not getting blindsided by anything. I think a lot of the drama with baby mamas and baby daddies is because sometimes they just get hit over the head with it. It's not like you're coming to them directly and like, look, X, Y, and Z, this is what's happening. I don't think that happens a lot.
Okay, so by your logic, you said that a lot of these parents are, you know, like the parents who start dating, they're getting hit over the head and not expecting it. You know, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So by that logic, it doesn't have any reason. No, I'm going to go back to that. So what we're going to do is, right, you and your baby dad, y'all got a number of kids together. That's all well, fine, and good. But now y'all have these boundaries, y'all have to talk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And let's just happen to say 2 or 3 years down the line, you done moved on. And next thing you know, he starts to, you know, act strangely and go on down the line, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and starts wanting to create drama for you.
Mm.
Is it your fault that he created the drama?
It depends on what it is. Like, if he's just, like,
I mean,
if he comes to, Like, if he comes to pick up the kids and he's like nitpicking about little things here and there, like, I would be like, all right, like, I understand what it is. Like, he feels some type of way. Like, I still would reach out to him and be like, you know, what's the problem? What's the situation? I'm not just going to let it continue. Like, I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, he just, you know, he just crazy and that's okay. No, I'm going to try and nip it in the bud, and I'm going to address the situation. If it's something that he's tripping about that I didn't do, then, yeah, that's my fault. Like, if it's something like I was supposed to pick somebody up at this time and I didn't do it, or, you know, he sent something with somebody and it didn't come back, whatever. If it's something like that, then, yeah, I take full-blown responsibility for it if he started wigging out. Like, okay, you know, I was wrong. It just it depends on what it is, because if he's tripping because, you know, he's picking up the kids and he's noticed that, you know, my daughter didn't get her hair done that week or something like that, then, you know, he has a right to trip about that. But if he's tripping just on little some bull, then I'm still going to address it. Like, you know, what issue are you having?
Okay. I got you. Now, going back to your preference of choosing not to deal with the baby mama, baby daddy drama. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say the shoe was on the other foot. You know, to like what degree would you be willing to deal with baby daddy, baby mama drama? Because
Not a nothing.
Okay,
nope.
So even the smallest thing, even the smallest thing, you're just not dealing with.
No. No, because I consider baby daddy, baby mama drama as, you know, I'm going out of my way to create drama for you. Like, okay, the kids are at our house for the weekend. She shows up unannounced, causing problems, yelling, screaming, banging on the door, calling, playing, hanging on the phone, like that kind of thing. Like,
okay,
that's what I consider baby mama, baby daddy drama. Like, that's what I won't tolerate. If it's something, you know, like, if she's tripping because of something that he's not doing and I see it, then, you know, he's dead ass wrong. But if it's just like, you know, she just decided to come over, the kids are at the house, it's like 11:30 at night, they're all sleeping, and now she want to come over, banging on the door, yelling, screaming, playing on the phone, no, it's a wrap. No, not going to deal with it. Because that lets me know that, one, this has been going on the entire time that you've been out in a dating world. So this can't possibly be the first time that she's doing it. It's not that I don't understand. It's no way that miraculously you got with me and all of a sudden she just started tripping. No, this bitch been tripping and you never did anything about it and you just be like, she just be tripping. No. Mm-mm. Can't deal with it.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, so listen. I've had something to say for a long time. Because I can see where Taylor's coming from, and I can see where Thomas is coming from. But being that I've been in my situation was a little different. The girlfriend, for whatever reason, was the one that was the issue. It wasn't me. It was her. Because she couldn't understand the fact that I'm always going to be, if my child is there, I'm there. At this time, my daughter was like, 3, and I was dropping my daughter, well, actually, I was picking my daughter up, and he said, hey, it's going to take me a second, I'm going to just come on in the house. It's fine. Okay, so me and my friend, we get out the car, we go in the house. This chick comes in the house, mind you, we're sitting in the living room, it's not like we're being disrespectful and we're being in the bedroom or anything. They live together. I'm in the living room sitting on the couch. My friend is sitting in the armchair. She, first of all, she sees my car outside. So she's already mad because she sees my car outside. Why she's mad, I don't know. But she busts in the door, and she was like, B, what are you doing in here? Whoa, fraud. You need to sit down. Before I see you, That's number one.
See, 1-800-CARDABITCH. See, I would have been.
And so, who in the hell? First and foremost, let's figure out who the hell is knocking on my motherfucking door at this time. 11:35 at the motherfucking night. Let's put that out.
I can't.
Who is it?
Really?
Do I know you?
Only on our show.
Okay.
Only on our show.
How can I help you, sir? How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. Okay, so I have a show that I'm running right now. So, okay. How may I help you?
Okay, hopefully she's not kidnapped by the man at her door at 11:35 at night in the middle of our show. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. But that's just what I can't deal with. I can't deal with the whole drama. It's just too much. Because I feel like I already got a lot going on. Like, I got 4 kids. And, you know, their drama is enough. I shouldn't be dealing with anybody else's drama, which leads me to kind of feel like I shouldn't, like, I should go out back in the dating world because I feel like, you know, I shouldn't be a hermit and, you know, alone forever. But it's like, it's
you
weird.
See, but that's a wrong kind of mindset to have as far as you want it and as far as you feeling like, you should be alone simply because you have enough going on with you. If a person is, you know, willing to deal with you on that level, then why just dispel any notion of, you know, someone wanting to be with you? Because that just doesn't make any sense. Now you're closing yourself off for what? Because you feel as though you don't want to bring any extra added stress to being with them? Because, like, if that's your ideal of, you know, what you shouldn't be doing in a relationship, then you're probably never going to be in another relationship again. Because everybody in a relationship, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, whether willingly or unwillingly, brings their, you know, their issues, their troubles, their dramas to a relationship, you know. I understand this because of the simple fact I'm one of those kind of guys where my logic is don't bring her any unwanted stress. Don't bring, if I got a problem, it's my problem. I deal with it on my own. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, like I understand that if, you know, if the kind of woman that she is that, you know, my problems are her problems, you know, I understand that if I have a problem, you know, she's going to take it on too. But I would not bring her that problem simply because I know that's how she operates. I know for a fact that if I'm sad, she's going to be sad. If I'm mad, she's going to be upset with the fact that I'm mad. So,
yeah.
You know,
and that, you
I
know what? And that's one of my issues, too, because I am the same way. Like, I am that way with everyone. Like, my issues are my issues. They don't belong to anyone else. And if... That's just how I am, but I take on everybody else's problems. Like, I hate to
right.
see my friends upset. I hate to see them pissed off. Like, it bothers me, like, when they go through all these things, and it's frustrating to me that I can't do anything about it, and which is kind of why, like, everyone was so shocked when I actually came out and told everybody that, you know, me and my ex weren't together anymore, because the only thing that they knew was that, oh, my God, you guys just had twins. Like, why are you guys not together? What happened? Oh, and it was like, oh, you guys are getting back together. No, it's been about a good eight months or so. Like, it's been a long time since we've been together. Because I kind of feel like my issues, like my problems are my problems, you know, and I don't want to burden anybody. But I take on their problems, too. Like, that's my way of coping with things. Like, that's how I
right.
deal with things. Like, I take on other people's problems so I don't have to worry or deal with my own to an extent.
Right. But you also have to accept that most people who care for you are not going to just let you do that.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have to break it down to a certain degree, like, all right, hey, look, I understand that, you know, no matter what I do, I can't stop you from worrying or stop you from caring, but how about we come to an agreement, all right, if there's something that I, you know, that I feel as though I can't handle, I'll bring it to you. Because of the simple fact, you're basically cutting yourself off. You're cutting yourself off and you're limiting, you know, what a person can do for you when they would give you the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, and like for me, like I can understand where you're coming from because we basically operate in the same kind of way. But I also mm-hmm. had to learn, you know, like, all right, hey, look, you know what? It's one of those things, it comes with the territory. No matter what kind of relationship that you're in, no matter what kind of friendship you're in, if someone cares for you, they care for you. And if you have a problem, they're going to want to be involved with you because of the simple fact that they care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like, mm-hmm. look at the friendship between you and Amaj. You know, if you have something going on with Amaj, Amaj is not going to leave you alone because if she knows that you're hurt about something. Right,
no,
if she knows that you're hurt about mm-mm. something or you're bothered by something, she will not leave you alone. Why?
Yeah.
Because she cares for you that deeply. So ultimately, at the end of the day, like, you will try to shut Amaj out, but it's not going to work because she's very, you know, straightforward, gung-ho. Like, yo, you're going to tell me what the problem is, otherwise we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And you would much rather not have that problem with her and just deal with, you know, explaining it to her. You know, like, I already see that. And it's the same thing. You know, me, you know, and you're the same way, too. If someone has a problem and they don't want to tell you, you know, you'll go after it. You know, you'll go after it, you'll go do this, that, and the third. But you also have to realize that the same way that you are is the same way you shouldn't be to a certain degree. You know, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's more so like, well, I know that I don't want to bring my problems to them, but maybe you can gauge what problems you bring to them.
Yeah,
instead of just shutting down altogether, gauge what problems you can bring to them, because that's one thing I have to learn over time. I know that. Yeah. You know, if there's nothing in which I can change about it, you know, I'm not going to bring it to you because why would I bring it to you if there's nothing I can change about it? If it's something that's internal with me, I can't do that. But if it's something that's bothering me about something that's at work or something, you know, with somebody else that did, that's of no real consequence, but they just got under my skin at that point in time, I'll express that so that way, you know, they'll feel involved. But any major issues in which I know that I have to personally deal with, no, I'm not going to bring it to you. It's no point because my mindset is I fix my own problems.
Yeah.
And nobody can fix my own problems but me. But, you know, that's just something that will help. It, you know, if you take it and you use it, it should help you with the process of wanting to get back out there and date because, like, you want to date, but your mindset is bringing you back to the point like, I want to date, but I don't think I should. You know, and there should be no reason as to why you shouldn't want to date, especially if you feel the want and the need to date. Like, if you want to date, then you will date. You just have to find a good enough reason to date. You hiding, you know, becoming a hermit because you don't want to bring your problems to anyone else makes no sense, because no matter what you do, your problems are someone who cares problems.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I have a comment from Shamor. She wants to weigh in, but I can't do anything because Amaj is our host tonight, and hopefully she didn't get kidnapped by the man that's at her door because she's not responding to my messages. I'm so sorry, Shamor. I wish I could help you, but I can't. There's nothing I can do. I'm so sorry. Well, just send me a message about what you want to say, and I'll tell them. I'm sorry. I hurt you long time. I hurt you.
So look it.
Oh, see? Uh-oh. Okay.
So listen. First of all, I need my people not to show up at my damn door. That's for
okay. Well, the Maj is back and she's safe and sound.
I'm about to bring Shamor and y'all. I'm sorry. I'm about to bring Shamor and this other phone line on the line 773. Hey y'all.
Wow.
How y'all doing?
Hi. Now I know how it feels, so I get it now. I just wanted to say she broke her cardinal rule because she opened the door. Did they call first?
Oh, I did. Because I was my first cousin when I see that. I don't think it's one of my neighbors. So I was like, why is he at my door?
That's the broken rule. They didn't call first. They don't get in.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I was thinking there was an emergency downstairs with one of my neighbors. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's no, the lady
downstairs. It must have been the cute neighbor.
I don't think it was that one because she came back to the phone. So I don't think it was that one.
That was funny. What? She said it wasn't the cute one because you came back. Or it was a quickie.
Y'all are ignorant.
Maybe it wasn't the cute one. See, that's how I know it wasn't the cute one. If it was the cute one, she would be like, girl.
I ain't got no cute neighbor. I really don't. But I don't understand. Who else do we have on the phone line? Because I opened up your line to 773.
Hey, this is Lulu. How are you?
Hey, Miss Lulu.
Hi. I happened to catch you guys on this evening. You all were having a great debate while you were being on the door.
Oh, yeah. I missed it. And I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like, and then it was like, y'all, I don't even want to talk about it. But
yeah. Thomas was actually kicking some good knowledge. I even wrote down something he said that I just wanted to commend him on saying.
Here's what I wanted to say.
What did he say?
Taylor, go ahead. Hi. Oh, I was just saying that one of the things that he told Taylor is that everybody brings their stuff in, and that's so true.
Okay, here's what I heard, because I kind of, one thing I'm hearing is that you both are doing the weight of the world on my shoulders kind of vibe, which is, you know, I help all my friends and I do everything for them, but when it comes to me, I'm by myself. And that puts you in a position where when you are needing some help and then you're saying that I don't want any and I handle my business and I do this, guess what? There are going to be times when you need to let go and let people help you. Not just because you need the help, but because by allowing them to help you, you are giving them the opening to be the friend or the lover or whatever they're going to be to you that they should be. See, by holding back and saying that I'm going to handle all my problems, you don't allow people to help you, so therefore you are closed off. You are not open to the world around you. I say this because I've done the same exact thing that you all were talking about. In major crises, I have a tendency to close myself. You know, I get quiet. I go deep. However, what I've learned over the years is that there are people who really just want to be there to help you. Just like you help people, there are people who are waiting to do for you as much as you do for the world. But by you holding the weight on your shoulders, one day your back is going to be weak, and you need somebody to hold you up, and you need to allow them to. Because if you don't, you'll always be weak. Because sometimes those people can help you in ways that you can never help yourself. Because you can't solve all your problems. Trust me on that.
And then that also translates to people. It's in the message. And if you don't ever know exactly how it translates, because sometimes it translates as you don't trust me enough with you to help you.
Right.
Or
they're not good enough
to
trust you know.
You don't think
or they're not good enough. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're not good enough to handle things for you. And then the other thing is I'm hearing is that, which I say, is that too many of us, especially, you know, we have our baggage. We have things that have happened in our lives. But we must stop measuring everybody by the people in our past. See, you're closing yourself off based on the people in your past. And that's not fair to the people in your future. See, there's a man out there who wants to be the man for you that you deserve, but because you measure him based on the bad of the other people or the good of the other people, you're never giving them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody is different. And the thing is, do you want anybody measuring you by their past? I don't think so. So why would you do that to another person?
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
I gotcha.
Because you're holding on. Let me tell you something, and this is here, and I tell this because I know you all don't know me that well, and I haven't been talking about it recently, but the reason why I'm not married is not because of any other thing. The main reason why I'm not married is because my husband for 9 years never told me he was HIV positive or hepatitis C positive. Now, by the grace of God, I am neither one, but that could make me not want to ever be around a man. You know what I'm saying? Because I trusted this man, and he put me in a position where he could have killed me. You know, really, he could have killed me. And if I measured every man based on the shit that he put me through, then I would not be with anybody. No man could ever get close to me. And there was a period when I was like that, and I had to open my eyes to it and say, stop this, because other men don't deserve, you know, me giving them all this because of him. And also, by doing that, he was winning. Because, see, he's out here living his life. Every man that you sit up here measuring those men in your past, guess what? They got another woman. They got another life going on. They are living and happy while you are still miserable, measuring everybody by the misery they put you through.
Yes,
the best revenge is living well. The best revenge is living well, and that's for real.
Mm-hmm.
So stop putting yourself through it while they're kicking it and having a great life.
That's all.
Hey, most people don't realize that they're holding on to a lot of the stuff that they've experienced in their lifetime. Like,
right.
I realized that over the course of my relationships. I realized that, okay, I brought how I felt towards my ex, you know, and I placed it on other women, you know, because, like, to me, at that point in time, she was the upper echelon of what I wanted. So if you weren't doing those things that she would do to some certain degree, then I didn't have a happy relationship with you. You know, and even down to, you know, certain friends that I've had, if I felt like you weren't being a good friend to the degree of how my other friends are, then I didn't want to be friends with you. I had to understand and take the time out to realize that every person is different, and so I cannot and will not judge you based on what I've experienced with that, because I, like, one of the things that that I go a lot on is no need for judging, because of the simple fact whatever you were going through at that point in time is the reason why you are who you are today. But if you bring it to the forefront of your present at this moment in time, it's going to forever shape your future. So if you're always going back to the past, bringing it to your present, you're basically isolating yourself back in the past, even in your future. Ultimately, you can't do that. You got to be willing and flexible to want to bring new things into your future, because if not, you're never going to be happy.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, it must have been really deep because everybody got quiet. Wow, okay.
It's a moment of reflection. It's a moment of reflection for most people.
I see.
Because most people don't hear it.
I'm trying not to talk.
Most people don't hear it because of the simple fact they're so caught up in the world that they live in now, you know, and how they experience things. you know, everybody's basing it that nobody really has the general overview of the entire world and how everything you do plays a part in it. So every time they turn around, like when you hear someone talk about their life, they're only focused on, you know, whatever they have going on at that point in time. Like, for instance, like, and I do it sometimes, but I also realize that my problems could be a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, that's
ultimately,
true.
At the end of the day, my problems could be a hell of a lot worse. I could be homeless. I could be without a phone. I could be with this. I could be without that.
Right.
You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, that's why most people's problems are, like, some people, I may see some people's problems as minor, but to them it's a major issue. But, you know, in my mindset, I'm looking at it from the aspect of, well, if your problems are something minor, something like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not happy in my relationship. Well, it may be major to you, but to me it's minor because at the end of the day, you choose to be in a relationship. You choose to be in a relationship with that person. So you could either, one, stay and fix it, or two, leave. It's really no majorness to it. Now, yes, feelings are a somewhat major degree, but you can also, you know, isolate those feelings. You can also choose to either stay because of those feelings or you can leave because of those feelings. Are you willing to sacrifice how you are as a person for some nonsense with the person in which you feel something towards? Most people don't think about it in that aspect. How much of yourself are you willing to give up for the person in which you're dealing with?
I think one of the things that Thomas was hitting on is that whole concept that perception is reality. And I think a lot of that kind of gets overlooked because we're all coming from our own perspective. But what we don't want to always address is that even though to you it's a small thing, to that other person who perceives it to be major, it is. So how do you deal with that when we all have our own perception of a situation and it's not affecting us the same? That's even inside of your relationship. What you think is just, I wasn't being rude, I was just saying, well, the other person deems it as rude. So for them, it's rude. How do you do that? That's where compromise comes in. Even when you don't feel as passionately about something, how do you address that with that other person? And if it's not worth it in your mind, then the relationship is not worth it because you have to operate under the understanding that on both sides, whatever their perceived reality is, I have to share in understanding that. And that's what a lot of us don't do.
Yeah, I agree. I had I actually had that in my past relationship where, though, like, you guys know me, and you know that I'm going to say what I think, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you. Apparently, that wasn't always a good thing to him because it was, some of it was just rude and mean, and it was inappropriate, come to find out. Which I thought that, you know, the honesty is the best policy. If you ask me, does this look good on you, I'm going to tell you, no, you don't look good on you. And, you know, where I thought that I was, you know, being honest and telling the truth and it was okay was actually just essentially me sort of kind of being an asshole. It was, because then, once I started to, like, take a step back, I actually realized that a lot of the things I say, you know, can be a little, well, it can be hurtful. And, yeah, because I just say what I have to say. And I haven't mastered the art of politeness. Like, I'm polite to people. Like, I, you know, I say, hello, how you doing? Like, I'm, but when it comes to you asking me what I think, I haven't mastered the art of politeness when it comes to that. I'm still working on that. As part of my life, that's what I was. Yeah, I was working on it. So, like, the whole thing with, you know, my 30-day challenge was that was something I was working on, and I was just, you know, I was working on my chi and practicing, you know, when people ask me things, you know, to not necessarily say the first thing that I want to say, but change it so it's not as rude or as asshole-ish as it would sound if I just said it.
You know, but self-esteem is very fragile. And when we go out into the world, we already have it guarded. We have it guarded when we go into the workplace. We have it guarded when we go to the store. Somebody looks at us crazy. It doesn't necessarily affect us. The one place is when you're with that special somebody, the guard isn't always up. So if they don't handle it as if it's fragile, then they damage it. And so if you're not aware because for some reason you are guarded still and you assume that they are, so you assume when you say it how you mean it, that, and if they reply, it doesn't affect you because it's still protected. But when you're with that person and you're vulnerable and you think that this is the person that loves you the most and loves you the most intimately, then they're not going to damage it, and they say things that can be considered brash, it affects you more. And then you can feel, you kind of feel deflated. And so the protection, that defense mechanism is fight or flight. Do I stay and say, hey, you can't talk to me like that? Or do I say, you know what, it's not worth it because she doesn't deem me as somebody that she has to protect and secure. Especially if you're doing that around them with someone else. So if they, because if they ever see you with your kids doing it and you don't do me like that, then that's an issue because you are capable and you're choosing not to. And this is all done without communication. So you're not even saying, yeah, I'm doing it to you, because you're not intending to do that. But they see that you have the ability, you just don't choose to use it with me. And
I think that honesty is a weapon sometimes. That is used by people. Well, I was just being honest. And don't get me wrong, because we know what my mouth can go. You know, y'all see what I write. So I'm not one to, you know, speak. But when it comes to relationships, I think that honesty is also used as a weapon to say, well, you want me to be honest, so I'm being honest. Honesty should never usurp, you know, overstep feelings. Because the reality is that if you are in a relationship with somebody, you can be honest without hurting them. And when we don't do the brutal honesty, that's just because we don't give a damn. You know, when you're with somebody, you have to understand what's going on. You're with them long enough, you understand what you can say to hurt them. Even if you're not trying to, you know this. So there's a point where you have to go, okay, these are the things that affect them. Like one person I dated didn't like being called a jerk. Now, a jerk to me is just, you know, oh, you're a jerk, ha, ha, ha. To him, he said that it made him feel like a certain way. Well, I had to step back and go, okay, even though I take it as a joke, this man does not take it as a joke, so I will stop calling him that. And that's the difference when you become mature in a relationship, because you understand that, yeah, not every honesty needs to be said so brutally to people. There has to be some softness to it, because guess what? In the grand scheme of things, you don't want somebody talking to you the way you talk to somebody. And that's what I think people forget. You know, if you really do not want somebody talking to you the way you do. Some of us can take it, but the reality is, like me, I got feelings. I'm a little sensitive little thing with my man, and I don't want him talking to me a certain way, but I also don't talk to him that way, because I understand that I want to be talked to that way. So I, in turn, don't talk to people like that. Even though I'm one of the most brutally honest people when it comes to my opinions about things, when it comes to people and the people around me, I do try to take, and I think that's where people get caught up in this whole honesty thing. Honesty doesn't mean you got to hurt somebody's feeling being honest. That's just
being cool.
It's the acceptance from that. It's the acceptance in, do you accept the way that I talk? This is how I talk. And if so, if you love me, you accept the fact that this is how I talk. So I think there's a conversation that has to be had, and that's one of the things that not enough adults do as part of their relationship is have conversations where you sit down. This conversation should have been had in a relationship. I don't intentionally say things the way that you hear them purposely to hurt you. That's just how I speak. And if you accept me, you understand that I'm still working on that, so it's not meant to hurt you, but I'm just expressing myself as honestly as I can because I don't want to be the one to lie to you. You know, those kind of conversations need to be had, but they aren't. We just come into a relationship, we want to fall in love and be like, oh, everything I do is something that he likes or she likes. And it's not necessarily true because we're all human. So I don't think we have enough conversations about what we will accept and how we will accept that person coming to us enough. You know, that's an ongoing, as long as we're in the relationship, because we all grow and we all change. So it has to be. That conversation has to happen. When you discover a new thing, maybe your significant other has picked up a habit that wasn't there in the beginning, people change, and then you realize, hey, I don't really like it when you do this. Instead of every time they do it, you undo it, or you cuss them out, or you stop speaking to them. You know, you isolate yourself, and they have to come in and play 50 questions. What's wrong with you? Why are you not talking to me? And it never leads to what really started it. It always goes off into some other tangent, and it never rectifies the situation. That is really important that we have those kind of conversations. I don't think we do, and we'd rather end a whole relationship than fix a minor problem that's in it. And that says a lot about our staying power.
I agree.
So, I'm going to go now because I'm tired. I just walked in the house and I was like, I got a call. And I was tired when I walked in the house. I was like, I got a call. And then Maj had me on hold for like, you know, so she could go.
Hey, listen.
Give the teacher, the delivery guy extra.
So she could go play with her neighbor.
So now you know how it feels to be left on hold for a long period of time.
That's what
it feels like.
Don't do
it to anybody else ever again. Lesson learned.
Well, see, I can't make promises, though. I'm just saying. Now I get it. So Wednesday, I'll be like, I know how you feel, remember?
Yeah.
Y'all had a great conversation. Lou is super deep.
Lulu is awesome. She's always awesome to us. She loves
us. Yes. And we love Ms. Lulu.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You all have a wonderful weekend.
I love Ms. Lulu too. I just met her, but she's
we do. And we've been deep for the last hour and a half. So we're about to take it into the shallow end of the pool.
Yes.
Oh Lord.
Yes.
So I'm gonna miss all the good stuff. There's no fear.
You can stay on the line. We have to take it to the shallow end of the pool because we have a couple of reads that we need to give out to the world.
I'm going to miss things, but I'm not going to participate.
No, this is okay, people. This is the part of the show where if you are approved, you don't like to hear the words dick, cum, suck, fuck.
Oh, God. My virgin ears.
Now, just go ahead and just tap out now because this is going to get a little wild. We will be talking about this video that is floating around the internet.
We're not talking about the video. We're just going to talk about the grapefruit one. We're trying to figure out a way to get her on the show. So we're not going to talk about the video per se.
Okay.
You want her on the show? Are you talking about the grapefruit? You talking about Andy?
She's friends with me on Facebook now. She's friends with Taylor. So we can reach out to her and have her come on the show one week.
Yes. Have you ever seen her video? Okay, wait a minute. Stop.
Stuff.
Have y'all ever seen the video?
Look at it.
I saw it.
I haven't seen the video. Taylor has seen the video.
Not just the grapefruit, but have you actually seen her video?
No.
I saw one of them.
Okay.
Where she was giving all the tips on how to give a great blowjob with her toy.
Yeah. No. Okay. Do you see the amount of saliva involved with this?
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Okay. Yes.
I mean, let me say this. She's from here. I know people who've taken her class. And she gives a good class. People love her. Love her. The grapefruit thing has been going around. Yeah, I know the grapefruit thing. It's awesome. This is all I'm going to say about it is like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, if you have not seen, and here's my thing, you know what, because we have two different styles, her style is totally different than mine, and I don't really do videos right now, I guess I should, but, I mean, like, her style is just so, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's for people who, and honestly, it's a great video, and she's very good for people who really haven't done a lot of it, because really what she's teaching is not that advanced when it comes to stuff like that. But if you get her, you might want to get this. There's another lady who teaches, and she's white, Caucasian. Her name is Sunny Megatron, and you might want to get her on. She's really good. Her and her man, they teach about stuff like that, and they're very deep and into the whole, you know, oral and all this kind of stuff. They didn't teach me anything, and she never taught me anything. I've taken her class too.
Is she?
But
okay, Sunny Megatron, I found her on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Sunny Megatron. She's real. They're really cool people. They're very well versed on, you know, history and things, so they really are deep on, you know, when any subject when it comes to sex. You know, they do product testing, they do all of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just found her on Facebook, so yeah, I'm going to reach out to her, and then hopefully we can get them on the show later. But this is where the read
comes. Watch the video, too.
I'm going to watch the videos before I invite them. I'm going to watch. Reason why I said I haven't watched it because I feel like I don't really need no help. But anywho,
it's very saliva driven. That's all I'm going to say. Very saliva driven.
I use saliva.
Well, I mean, it's a whole lot of saliva going on. Let me just say that. Her style is not my style. I mean, I love what she does. Trust me. You're
just complaining about that part.
You need to see the video. And listen, you don't want to have a dry mouth. And Lord knows her, this is not dry. And I'm not saying anything bad about her because I know, like I said, I know people who take her class and they love her class. It's just hers is a little more raw than the way I teach. So there's different styles. I mean, we all have different styles. Hers is very saliva driven. I've never seen so much saliva in my life. In my life.
Now,
I mean, she does a tornado thing. I don't know. You got to drink a lot of water to do her move.
Me personally, I feel like you do. It's very saliva driven. And saliva is not always, you know, like it's very basic. It's, you know,
exactly.
Like I had one girl who actually did it somewhat like that. You know, it was very saliva driven, and it was literally like it was a glob of like slob. You know, like I was laying down, it was
bitter.
A glob of slob.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I don't. That's not something that I personally prefer.
Right.
You know, if you're gonna do that, then do something that's interesting. You can have the wettest mouth in the world, but that does nothing if you don't pay attention.
Right.
You don't, you know, you're not listening to what it is that I'm doing at that point in time. You're not following the motion. No, nothing. It's just,
right. Mm. Yeah,
like
right.
Me personally,
I mean, it's like
I watched
very
the video.
Have you
yeah,
seen it? Oh,
I've, Yeah, I've seen the video. I'm like, okay, a grapefruit, yeah, that's all well, fine and good, but you can do the same thing with your hand. Mm-hmm. So
I don't need a grapefruit.
Well, here's the thing. The grapefruit is the main thing about the grapefruit is not that what you can do with your hand. It's the juices from the grapefruit. They do create a different sensation. But if you've seen it, and that's the one that's going around a lot now. What I'm talking about is peaches, oh, my God. I mean, like I said, I've seen it. It grossed me out. I ain't going to lie because it was too much for me. But, hey, we all have our different ways. I like elegance and sex. You know, I like a little sexiness. This is just, it's a lot of saliva. If you watch one of her real ones, it's a lot of saliva. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. She does like a twirl thing, and she makes it like almost like a tornado. It's a mess. And hey, I know, like I said, I know a lot of women who really endorse her class, and I think it's great because I think, you know, learning new skills is learning new skills. I go to everybody's, like, you know, oral sex class, you know, whatever class they got, I'm going to go check it out. But it is very live. So if you've seen the grapefruit, try to see her other stuff so that you can really get a feel for what she teaches. Because the grapefruit is just one little trick. She actually teaches, you know, a few things. And she teaches, like, you know, the pop off of it. If you're not doing that by now, girls, you need to learn some basic instructions. But, yeah, so it's like, you know, she teaches you how to do the, like, suck in and pop off of it. And, you know, so, you know, she does teach a deep throat, and that's what she does, but she, you know, very saliva-driven with the deep throat, that's all I'm going to say.
And, you know, anytime you're looking at something, you got to pick up what you need, and then all goes back into him being there and what he likes, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, but the grapefruit is not just about the hand job. It's about the sensations from the grapefruit. Mm-hmm. That's what the thing is. The grapefruit
Right, but
they have toys that do that too, you know.
Right,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they have the motion and the different things. That's why I say you can do it with your hand as well.
It just so happens that you
use a grapefruit, you know.
Right, that's true. That is very true because, you know, back in the day, you just go and get some of that, you know, emotion lotion, blow on a little bit. Ooh, it's on and popping. Right.
Yeah, you know, you can even do it with mouthwash, you know.
Right. Owl toys and halls.
Owl toys, halls.
Okay, so listen. Y'all giving some awesome ideas. Because, yeah. I mean, I use halls. I like the lemon honey, personally. But, you know, that's just me. So what we were going to talk about, because I told y'all we weren't talking about that daggum video yet.
You said thick and calm. I thought y'all was talking about that.
I was trying to tell you we're not talking about that right now. But that's
okay. Are we going to talk about my rant on Facebook? Is that
what
we're going to
talk about? Your rant. Because listen, I didn't put my two cents in yesterday. Yesterday, Taylor had a rant about I don't do this, I don't do that, but my, you know, your man's cheating, point blank, and that's where he gets his pay from. So I posted something on my Instagram today that says, if your pussy don't get wet, you ain't sucking his dick right. I'm sorry. If it don't get wet, you ain't doing it right. I mean, I'm sorry. And I can attest that my shit gets wet when I do it. So pretty slick. Listening people, yeah, we know you listening. It's okay. You can go talk about it tomorrow. I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
And you know what? I'm leaving now.
That's all I gotta say.
I'm supposed to be gone a long time ago. I'm getting off the phone with you guys.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna let y'all handle that music getting wet question when you're giving the blowjob. I'm not really giving that.
Okay. So basically my rant yesterday stemmed from watching the video, and I saw some of the comments that women had. They were like, I'm not doing it. I don't suck sick, and that's gross. I'm not wasting my great food on him. And they were just going, like, apeshit. Like, somebody had a gun to their head, and they were like, you got to do it.
You know what I say about all those women? If you ain't sucking a dick, somebody else is.
And that's and here. Okay, now here's my rant. I said, damn, bitches are so closed-minded. And I said, damn, you mad because Angel out here teaching women how to give head with tricks and shit. Maybe you should learn how to suck a dick with a grapefruit, and maybe your man will stop getting head from your next-door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I mean, you can, like, women... I've noticed, this is just my own personal thing, that I've noticed that it's more so, this whole entire thing was just black, like, as soon as I read the first three comments, I saw in my mind the neck rolling and the eyes rolling, and I'm like, okay, so you're upset because she made this video and she's out here, like, it's floating around. Everybody has seen it. Well, mostly everybody has seen it. And you mad because why? Because you don't want to try it because, one, you're too damn closed-minded, and, two, you're too fucking selfish. Like, this is the part that I can't stand. You don't want to suck your man's dick, but you want him to eat you out for 45 minutes to an hour until you can't even feel your shit no more. What type of what type of bullshit is that? Really, bitch? Really? Really?
Okay. All
really,
right.
Bitch.
Well,
really.
I've actually had women in classes and talked about this. And there's a lot of women who do believe this. I mean, I've had women in class that, you know, 30-some years old have never sucked dick. And the reality is that you have to remember that we, you know, black people, you know, just in general, we are very closed-minded about sex because we say, you know, we put our sexuality with our spirituality. And we feel, and we have this whole notion that if you are a sexual being, you can't be spiritual. So most of them are probably, you know, the women who've been in church, you know, blah, 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 you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with church. Let me say that first before everybody comes down on me. But the reality is that we're so closed-minded and repressed about sex, and that's part of the issues with the violence in our communities. And we're so, you know, girl, go sit down, suck your man's dick, and be happy. And too many women don't do that.
Hello.
Too many women don't. And they act like, oh, my God, it's so bad. But you're right. Because years ago, I was out with some friends, and they was, like, talking about it. They were like, girl, I don't suck no dick. He can eat my pussy. And I was like, and I have a friend who, her man broke up with her, and he was a good guy. So what happened? The girl who worked with her found out she didn't suck dick. First thing she did was got a hold of his ass, sucked the dick, and he moved her ass. And
right on in.
Wow.
Right on in and move right on up to that deluxe apartment in the sky. Why? Because you wouldn't bother to put your lips around his dick. That's what you get.
Yep. But girl, I promise you he ain't going to cheat on me.
Oh, no, no.
I promise you.
Everybody knows that, you know, Lulu, as the harlot, two things I believe in is oral sex, sucking dick, and masturbation. Two things that I believe in wholeheartedly. You need to go and feel yourself, and you need to go and open your mouth, because power's in the pussy, but the fortune is in your mouth. Hello.
There you go. And it's like, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, I mean, they were just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not wasting my great food. Why would I do that for him? And this, that, and the third. And I'm like, but how the hell, but how you want to lay in the bed and spread your legs and just tell him to come eat it, and you won't even attempt to do, like, to return the favor? Or if you do it, you act like the world is going to end because you're doing it, and you, like, you're doing it wrong on purpose. Like, I have a guy friend that was like, you know, this one girl he was with, he told, you know, she was doing it, and, like, she wound up, like, almost trying to bite him. Like, she was just doing it completely all wrong. And I'm like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I understand it's to each his own. Like, if you tried it and you don't like doing it, that's different.
But if you never even attempt, like you never even seen the shit face to face, bitch, don't complain about nothing. Don't complain about shit. If you never even looked at that bitch face to face, like really, you can, there's nothing for you to say about nothing. Go sit your ass down somewhere. Please and thank you. You, what are you upset for? Like you feel some type of, like really? Really, that's that you feel some type of,
oh my
God, you're upset. No.
Well, here's what I think. Forget all that. If you didn't like it, find a way to like it. Because if you like your man, if you love your man, you better start learning how to enjoy fucking his dick, period. Unless there's some type of medical reason why you can't suck his dick, then there's no reason for you not to find a place to suck it. And suck
and
it.
And then still ain't no
and
reason
and,
not to,
because
if you even got a sore throat, you can stick a throat lozenge in there and you be fine.
But
I'm saying,
you know, some people have medical issues with it. Okay, if you got a medical issue where you can't open your mouth wide, I'm good with you. But the reality
no, wait
is
a minute, wait a minute. There's a thing with that. There's another way, because all you got to do, you don't even have to open your mouth wide. If you're nasty, all you got to do is sit there and let him do the work, and you just sit there with your mouth a certain way, and that's it. That's all you got to do. I'm just saying.
If you're sitting down and you're standing up,
you know, he might like that. Some guys like that, like to be aggressive like that, so he might like that.
Right.
So you don't even got to do shit. You can just sit there with your mouth open a little bit. He's working right on out for you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And especially like when
anyway,
he's doing
it
good and he's putting
it
here. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. We wasn't talking about that. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
The reality is that there are a lot of women who are doing a disservice to them, to their relationships, by not being open to, I mean, hell, they're not open just to even simple oral sex. Imagine what they're not open to. That's what I was talking about today. You know, the main thing is that people tend to talk to their friends about what's going on in their relationship, especially sex, as opposed to talking to the person they need to. So your man is probably sitting around going, damn, I wish my baby really, you know, enjoy doing this with me. And then he's not happy, but y'all running to your friends and telling them about your unhappy addressing it with each other. The reality is that women need to just man the fuck up and take care of their man correctly, because if you're not sucking his dick, somebody going to suck that dick. And then you're going to be running around talking about the side chick. And the side chick is the one who's going to be sitting around sucking it. She's going to be dropping down to her knees every time she sees him. Every time. Your man should be running home to you, not to the side chick to get his dick up. That's all.
There you go. And there you have it. And sometimes
the side chick
is your next door neighbor. I'm not going to mention no names, but I see you, and I know it's your next door neighbor.
My
you
Lord.
Need to get your shit
oh
together.
My goodness.
Yeah. Sorry, oh I've been, yeah. I felt the need to, yeah.
You know, and it's not always that, but, I mean, why open the door? You know, not to say that this is not the reason why every person cheats or anything, but why open your door to other people walking into it?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not even, like, to me, this is just my logic. I don't think it's a hard thing to do. It's really not that hard to do. It's not like, you know, it's technical, like you got to have all this elaborate and you got to do so much. No, all you got to do is put your mouth around it and just, like, it's not hard. It's not like, you know, the fucking algebra, geometry, like, it's not hard. Like, it's not trigonometry. Like, I mean, if you eat a hot dog, bitch, you can suck a dick. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's not hard. This is my thing.
Well, ladies. Well, it's that time again, and we hate to part ways with one another because we was about to get deep into this whole situation. And we had a good conversation tonight. We talked about relationships. Everything wasn't about sex. I was good. Like, it was a good talk tonight. So I have enjoyed you all, and hopefully everybody has a wonderful weekend. Excuse me. From my health issues and my coughing all in the phone. And so, yeah. I have a busy day tomorrow. I have a bridal shower, 2 birthday parties, a whole bunch of stuff, and I still am not 100%. So good luck to me on that whole situation. And I want to say an early congratulations to the man in the suit. He graduates on Sunday from law school. So early congratulations to him. And don't turn up too much. What am I saying that for? He's going to turn all the way the hell up. So, yeah. So, yeah, ladies, good night. I'm good.
Good night.
I'm tired.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.